This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is how to overcome obstacles in life.
How many of you have sinned in the past week? All right, I think just about everybody raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I know you're sinning right now because you're lying. Amen? All right, hallelujah. No, it's not that we have to be perfect. It's that we have to be willing to repent of the sin that's in our life. Let's look at a specific example here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them, that is with the wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Man, did you catch that? Let me translate that for you. If you are mistreating your wife, God is not listening to your prayers. Oh man, isn't that rough? Now, it didn't say this, but I believe it goes both ways, ladies. Amen. If you are mistreating your husband, guess what? There is a hindrance to God answering your prayers. I know of a pastor who was reading this verse in his devotional time. And as he was reading, the Holy Spirit started convicting him about the way he was treating his wife. And this man's ministry was, you know, in disarray, struggling. And as he read that verse, God spoke to him. He said, "Son, your ministry will never prosper until you start treating your wife right." And he said, "Now, wait a minute. Look, the problem is not me. The problem is her. If she would just do what I tell her to do, everything would be all right." Man, how many of you can say amen to that? If she would just do what I tell her to do, everything would be all right. Well, we all get deceived in some ways. Amen. Hallelujah. And so his heart was hardened. He went off to California to a conference. The man speaking at the conference, guess what his verse was? Guess what he preached on? Men, you got to treat your wife right, or it's going to hinder your walk with God. It's going to hinder your relationship with God. He says, "Look, this is not me. It's her fault. It's not my fault." He wouldn't change. His heart was still hardened. The very next week, he went back home, had another conference he was going to go to. Guess who showed up? That same man. Guess what his scripture was? That same passage. And he said, by then, it started getting through. And his heart was broken. He had to change the way he was treating his wife before God was going to move in his life and remove the obstacles that was keeping his ministry from being what it was supposed to be. Understand, we need to examine ourselves. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are indeed disqualified?" We need to look at our lives. If you're praying for something, if you're trying to overcome an obstacle, you need to examine yourself. Lord, is there sin in my life that I have not confessed, have not repented of, that's standing in the way of you being able to move this obstacle that's confronting me right now? We need to examine ourselves. And when God reveals sin, we need to deal with it according to the IRS. No, I don't mean pay taxes on it. No, here's what you need to do. IRS. When God reveals sin, first of all, what is our deal with sin verse in the Bible? 1 John 1:9, which says, if we do what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So the moment that God reveals to us, convicts us of sin in our lives that's standing in the way of our relationship with Him, what do we need to do? IRS. We need to confess and repent immediately, ruthlessly, and specifically. IRS. Immediately, ruthlessly, and specifically. What does immediately mean? Immediately. Amen. The moment that you recognize that there is sin in your life, the moment you recognize that what you are doing or what you have done is wrong, what? You need to confess it and repent of it. You need to deal with it. Don't hold on to it. None of this, well, Lord, I know it's wrong and I'm going to get there. Just give me some time. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Amen. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin today, when does He expect you to do something about it? Today. Don't put it off to a more convenient season. God will not operate on your timetable. He says you operate on His. So immediately. Number two is ruthlessly. Ruthlessly. What does that mean? You got to acknowledge it for what it is. Don't play around with it. Don't make excuses. Don't minimize it. Don't say, well, I'm not so bad, or Joe over here is worse than I am, or I wouldn't be this way if she wasn't doing the way she is. No, none of that mess. What? Be ruthless. If God reveals sin in your life, if the Word of God reveals sin in your life, what? You got to take out your knife, cut it out of your life right then and right there, and don't spare any of it. Got to be ruthless about your own sin. Now, let me just digress for a moment. Be ruthless about your sin. We don't need to be ruthless about judging somebody else's sin. Amen? Amen? The Bible says, examine who? Yourself. And be ruthless when you do that. And then specifically, how many of you have ever prayed this prayer? Lord, for whatever I may have done wrong, please forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what that is? That's a scattershot prayer. That's a scattershot prayer. When I lived in Colorado, we had to have sprinkler system because you don't get very much rain. And if you want grass on your property, you got to use a sprinkler. And so I would have a sprinkler out there that would, spray water in all directions. And you know, on a hot day, you could get out there and run through that thing and just get cooled down. It was very nice because it was spraying the water. It was diffusing the water. There wasn't much force behind the water. But what happens if you concentrate the water? You can get yourself a fire hose connected to a fire hydrant, concentrate it, and turn that baby on, point it at somebody, and what? Blow them away with water. Hallelujah. Whoom! Why? Because when you concentrate it, the force increases. Isn't that right? When we pray these little diffuse scattershot prayers, oh Lord, whatever I've done wrong, forgive me in the name of Jesus. That's like that little spray. That little sprinkler system. Amen? But when we are specific, Lord, this morning, my wife got on my nerves and I said this nasty thing to her. Father, it was wrong. I know it was wrong. I repent. I ask you to forgive me and help me not to do that again. That's step number one. Now, in that particular example, guess what step number two is? And Lord, give me the courage to go to her and apologize to her and ask her forgiveness. Amen? All right? But be specific. Whatever it is that God is pointing out in your life, whatever that sin is, don't cover it over. Don't minimize it. Be specific about it. This is what I did. It was wrong, and I repent. Number six, we need to be willing to receive help. You got to be willing to receive help. Think about this paralyzed man in a time when there were not even wheelchairs. Wouldn't he have been silly when his four friends came to him and said, we're going to take you to Jesus. And he said, well, no, I'll take care of it myself. I'm going to get along the ground and I guess maybe I'll roll over and try to get to Jesus. No, what? He needed help. How many of you here like to ask for help? Let me just see. Let me ask it the other way. How many of you here would rather have somebody hit you with hot coals than to ask somebody for help? Men, you ought to be raising your hand too. Amen. Catch it. Many of us have a problem asking for help. Can I confess to you? I don't like asking for help. I am a natural handle it myself person. Amen. I want to feel like I am competent to deal with whatever I need to deal with. I don't need anybody. I can handle it myself. I told you we all deceive sometimes. This church started off in the hotel over in the Sheraton. And you see our keyboard here? We had this keyboard from the beginning. Let me tell you something. This bad boy is heavy. It's heavy. We got a big case for it back there to carry. It would be in the trunk of my car. And every Sunday, every Wednesday, we'd have to carry the keyboard in. Now I say we. You know why? It's too heavy for one guy. But every once in a while, we'd have one of the guys who wanted to show that he was a man. And so he'd pick up the keyboard. I'm going to carry this. And the Lord was at work in his life. He'd take about 5 steps. Brother, I need some help. I'm going to wait till somebody comes. No, it's foolish to try to show your manhood. I don't know. Ladies, is that how you show your womanhood? I don't know. Okay. No. What is that? That's the operation of pride. That's pride. I don't need any help. I can do it myself. That is nothing but pride. Look at James 4:6. James 4:6. The next time you feel that pride welling up in you that says, no, I'm going to prove I can handle life on my own. Here's what you need to remember. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know what that means? If you're over here trying to prove how manly you are by carrying this heavy keyboard by yourself, scripture says God resists the proud. You know what he does? He assigns 2 angels and says, I want you to go get on each side of that keyboard and hold it down when he tries to lift it up. Add to the weight, hallelujah. Because God resists the proud. God is not working for you, he's working against you when you are motivated by pride. When you're facing obstacles in your life that you can't handle by yourself, you need to give it some air. You need to give it some air. A-I-R. You see, I've been working hard on my acronyms, amen? A-I-R. Give it some air. Number one, you need to ask. That's A. You need to be willing to ask for help. Put your pride aside and ask for the help that you need. James 4:2, you know it. The end of that verse says, you have not what? Because you ask not. Well, many times what I'll hear people say is, well, look, why don't people offer the help? Especially people in the church, we feel like the other people in the church, they ought to see that we're struggling, and instead of us having to ask them, they ought to come and ask us. Do you know that people are not paying as much attention to you as you think they are? Do you know that? I mean, I see people all concerned about, Priscilla's not here, I hope she won't be ashamed if I share this with you, she won't be mad. But you know, Priscilla will look at a piece of clothing and say, now, I wore that 2 weeks ago. And I'm saying, but honey, I don't even remember what you wore 2 weeks ago. And you expect the people over there, now ladies, you may tell me different here, because she tells me. you may remember what she wore 2 weeks ago, amen? But the bottom line of it is this. People are not thinking about you as much as you think they are. Amen. You are the center of your world. Now, you shouldn't be, because God should be. Amen. But you are the center of your world. That's the way you look at it. And somehow you think that other people are looking at you as the center of existence. No. They're concerned about their own stuff. And so many times people just don't see. It's not that they're not concerned. It's not that they don't have the desire to help. It's that they don't really see everything you're going through. They may see that you are going through something, but they can't understand the dimensions of what you're going through. And so, number one, many times people don't offer because they don't realize the degree to which you actually need help. Some of us, and I believe I'm one of those people, even when we are going through something, we don't necessarily look like it. I think people get the idea that, you know, I'm pretty much on top of things. And I can be going through stuff and nobody asks me if I need help. Amen? Now, I told Ken I was going to commend him. He came in the office this morning. This was one of those obstacle mornings for us because we got so many people missing, including my wife. Amen. So we were scrambling this morning trying to get stuff in place. And Ken came in and asked me if I needed some help. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Praise God. He's learning to look past my face and see I need some help. Hallelujah. But many times people, you may have the kind of face that says I can handle it, even when you're not trying to say that. And people don't even realize you need help. Sometimes people don't want to intrude on your business. They feel like if you really need help, you will ask for it. And if you don't ask for it, it's because you don't want it. And they don't want to get in your business. I've shared with you before, when I lived in Colorado, I went to an Easter sunrise service. And it was held out in a field, lots of cars. You had to come down this little road, one track road. And as we were getting ready to leave, there was this woman, and her car was in such a place that you couldn't turn around. And you needed to back the car out, and she didn't feel like she could back her car out. So she looked up, she happened to see me, and she said, "Would you back my car out for me?" Now, I'd like to think that she looked at me and saw what a super driver I am, but I realized that she just said, "Anything in pants, I'm going to get him to back my car out." Amen. But here's the deal. I backed her car out. Did a wonderful job, by the way. I backed her car out for her. Was happy to do it. But if she had not asked me, I never in 10,000 years would have walked up to that woman and say, "Can I back your car out for you?" I did it because she asked. Now, she could have been there, obviously needing to get her car out of the way. People could have been honking at her, "Get your car out of the way." I would have looked at her and said, "She needs to get her car out of the way." But she had not asked me. I never would have gone and said, "I'll back your car up for you." Sometimes you just need to ask. You have not because you ask not. That's A. Number two. The I. You need to invite people into your life when you're going through something. You need to invite people into your life when you're going through something. I mentioned that sometimes on our face we don't give any indication that we need help. How many of you know that there are some of us, when you look at our face and you look at our attitude and we are going through something, it's just like you see a big no trespassing sign up there. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered with people right now. Just leave me alone. It's like an animal. When an animal is wounded, it crawls into its cave to lick its wounds. Now, the only problem is some animals die in there. Because do you understand? You can't get help in the back of your cave. Amen. If you want help, you're going to have to invite somebody, because some of us, we're sending off all kinds of signals. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. Sometimes our very facial expression says, if you say a word to me, I'll snap your head off. And all the time you're wishing somebody would say, "Can I help? Can I help?" And so you have to actively invite people. What does that mean? You got to go beyond yourself to say, now, if I just act the way I feel, nobody's going to want to be around me to help me or not. So what I want to do is to open up my face, put on a little bit of a smile, and let people know they can talk to me. You need to invite people. Number three, you need to receive help when it's available to you. You need to receive help when it's available to you. How many of you here are in the I'm fine club? The I'm fine club. Somebody sees you're struggling. They ask you if there's anything that they can do for you. And you say, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. But it'd be like me walking down, you know, that corridor, trying to get to George's room. And somebody comes along with one of these little carts that you can drive on or ride on, like they have in the airport. There I am walking down and trying to get to George's room. And I tell you, I have to admit, if this had happened to me this week, this is exactly what I would have said. They come up to me driving that little thing and say, oh, I see you're limping. Would you like to ride on the car? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. You see, pastors get hit by their own sermons. Amen. Praise God. No, when help is available, when help is offered, you've got to receive it. You've got to receive it. A-I-R, give it the air. You got to ask. You got to invite. You got to receive. Now, two things. Two points of balance to this. Number one, you need to ask, but don't demand. You need to ask for help when you need it, but don't demand it. Priscilla asked a friend to go with her to Johnstown today, since I'm not able to go. And that friend very graciously did it. So the two of them are driving down to Johnstown, and by the grace of God are already there by now. Praise God. But what if that friend has said, I don't want to go to Johnstown? Now, wouldn't that be a stupid thing to end a friendship over? If you're demanding that your friend do something for you and they don't want to do it, so you get mad. No, no. You can ask, but what? Don't demand. And if they're not able to do it, if they don't even want to do it, you keep going. Don't hold it against them. Here's the second thing. Sometimes we have to depend on other people, but we do not want to become dependent on other people. Depend on people when you need to, but don't become dependent on them. Don't become a moocher. Everybody know what a moocher is? Somebody that's always trying to get something. Amen? Always trying to get something from somebody. Think about this man. When they came to Jesus and put him down through the roof, after Jesus told him his sins was forgiven, amen, Jesus finally got around to what the man was looking for and said, son, take your bed, get up and walk. Now catch it. How many of you read in the scripture that when Jesus said, take up your bed, get up and walk, the man turned to his friends and said, okay, everybody, lift me up. No, what did he do? He got up. He did it on his own. He had the power to do it. He asked his friends to help him in what he could not do for himself, but what he could do for himself, he did. Don't become dependent on people. Don't become one of those people that's always abusing people's willingness to help. You know something I like about this story? These men had such great faith to bring their friend to Jesus in the way that they did. Let him down through the roof. They had faith. Amen? Now, if you're going to ask people for help, you know who you need to be asking? People with faith. You need to be asking people with faith. And that's why you need to be around faith-filled people. Amen? That's why you need to be around the church. Well, number seven. Let's end this series. Number seven. You need to follow through. We talked about the fact that you need to put together a plan, a God-given plan. Once you have a plan, what do you need to do? Work your plan. Work your plan. How many good planners do we have here? Good planners. You plan well. All right. Praise God. All right. How many of you good planners make up a good plan and then never follow it? Amen. Hallelujah. How much good does a good plan do when you don't follow it? So much waste paper. Amen. And so when these men brought their friend to Jesus, Jesus said, get up. What did the man do? Got up. You got to follow through on your plan. Catch it. What's the obstacle in your path right now? If you need a better job, you need a plan. Amen? You need to be working on or looking in the paper and networking and looking on the internet and all those kinds of things, putting together a resume. You need a plan. That should be in your plan. But what if you have a wonderful plan and you never type up your resume? Does you no good. And so you got to follow through on the plan that you have. Finally, number 8. After it was all over, go over to Luke chapter 5, verse 25. After you go through all of these things and you see God follow through, you see God remove an obstacle out of your path, what do you need to do? Luke chapter 5 tells this same story that we've been looking at in Mark chapter 2. And the end of the story gives one detail that's not explicitly brought out in Mark 2, so I want you to see it. Luke chapter 5, verse 25. After this man was healed, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. You need to give God the glory. Hallelujah. You need to vocally, verbally give God glory for moving obstacles out of your path, for taking you over them, around them, through them, under it, however it is that God does it. You need to give Him the glory. Remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus one day? Jesus healed them, sent them on home, sent them to the priests. And it says, on the way, one of them turned around and came back to Jesus to thank Him for what He had done. And you know what Jesus said? Where are the other 9? Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? How many of us see God move in our lives, do something wonderful in our lives, but to hear us tell it, nothing ever happened because we never give Him the glory? We need to give Him the glory. That means we give Him the praise in our own prayer time. Lord, thank You. I give You praise. I honor You for what You've done. Thank You. Hallelujah. But it needs to go beyond that. Guess what? We need to give Him the glory where everybody can know what God has done in our lives. I shared with the Bible study a few weeks ago, I want testimonies here. I want testimonies. Why? Because I like hearing you talk. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, we need to give God the glory. Amen. And by the way, understand, when you give a testimony, who is the star of your testimony? Jesus is, because we're giving who? God the glory. If you give a testimony and everybody goes away talking about how wonderful you are, you gave a bad testimony. Amen? And so, don't be afraid to give God credit for what He's done in your life. Don't let the devil intimidate you out of giving God public credit for what He's doing in your life. When God does something for you, you need to stand up and say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so, hallelujah. Give Him the glory.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.